Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. Later this month, PBS will air a new Ken Burns documentary exploring one of the most complex and deadly diseases of our time, cancer. Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Emperor of All Maladies, the three-part film, which airs on March 30th, 31st, and April 1st, traces the history of the disease from ancient Egypt to recent scientific breakthroughs, told from the perspective of doctors, patients, and their families. In the lead-up to the release, The Pulse is featuring a series of stories on cancer. We'll discuss innovative new approaches to treating the disease, the side effects of trying to get better, and what it means to be a survivor. To get us started, Todd Bookman takes us back to a Philadelphia discovery that fundamentally shifted the way researchers understand what cancer is, and it still shapes much of today's research.
There's a hallway in Fox Chase Cancer Center dedicated to past successes. Display cases filled with awards, posters commemorating two Nobel Prize winners, and up on a pedestal inside a glass box sits a black and gold microscope.
So this is the original Philadelphia chromosome microscope that David Hungerford used.
Joseph Testa runs a lab here at Fox, where Hungerford was a grad student in the 1950s.
I've looked through this microscope, and it's amazing that anyone could ever find anything.
Despite the primitive technology, in 1959, Hungerford peers through his A.O. Spencer microscope and sees something strange. Inside the white blood cells of certain leukemia patients, parts of two chromosomes seem to have switched places.
So you've got a chromosome 22 with a little bit of 9 on the bottom, and you've got a chromosome 9 with a little bit of 22 on the bottom.
This is Jennifer Morissette, who directs Penn Center for Personalized Diagnostics. She trained under Peter Knoll, the guy Hungerford partners up with, to investigate this rearrangement. Eventually, they write up their findings.
And so they published it in 1960, and they said, look, there's this small chromosome that's associated with chronic myelogenous leukemia. And we only see it in patients who have the disease and not in patients who don't.
There was a link, a clear link, between chronic myelogenous leukemia, CML, and this mutated chromosome number 22, which they label the Philadelphia chromosome. It would take another 30 years to flesh all this out, but researchers determined that the chromosome swap is causing two genes to pair up that usually don't. And when these two genes get together, they send a signal to start making an abnormal protein.
So what this produces is a protein that tells the cells to divide. And what they'll do is they'll divide, 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 divide.
This was the first concrete evidence that cancer, this reckless division, was a genetic disease. And for Knoll, the breakthrough came with a sobering realization, because it meant there likely wasn't a single cure. The Philadelphia chromosome caused this one form of leukemia. Other mutations were responsible for different variants of the disease. Each cancer could need its own treatment. But on the flip side, if scientists knew which genes were malfunctioning, they could try to develop specialized therapies. And that's what happened in the late 90s with a drug called Gleevec. It works by going after just that one protein in people with CML, effectively shutting it off so cells stop dividing. Jessica Wapner writes about this advancement in her 2013 book called The Philadelphia Chromosome.
And these people who thought they were going to die, who had been told to get their affairs in order because they did not have long to live, were now planning their next Christmas holiday with their family, were seeing grandchildren born.
Before Gleevec, 30% of patients with CML were alive 5 years after diagnosis. With Gleevec, 90% were surviving 5 years, without many of the harsh side effects of other treatments.
A lot of burning here. It's going to burn for about 10 seconds.
Back at Fox Chase, radiologist Rosaline Parsons is numbing a patient with lidocaine. She makes the injection just below the shoulder blade as he lies on his side.
And the patient we're going to do today is a 42-year-old gentleman with an advanced carcinoma of the head and neck, something called adenoid cystic carcinoma. And he is coming in today to get a biopsy of one of these lesions, and you can see there are multiple lesions.
Parsons points to an x-ray showing cancer throughout his lungs. Using a long, hollow needle, she's going to extract a sample from one of those tumors.
Don't move, okay? Try to stay real still for me.
With just a small amount of tissue, pathologists can run gene sequencing tests to identify possible mutations.
We're done. Okay, we're all done. You did great.
Unlike CML and the Philadelphia chromosome, this patient's cancer isn't yet linked to a single specific malfunction. But his oncologist, Ronnie Mera, ordered the screening because if they find any genetic mutations, she can see if there's early-stage drug trials to enroll him in. Mera says cancer docs are still adjusting to this new way of diagnosing and treating patients.
It is overwhelming, and in some sense, our ability to do this is moving faster than our ability to know what to do with the information.
To help make more sense of this genomic data, the federal government is chipping in $215 million toward research. Here's President Obama announcing the program during his State of the Union address earlier this year.
So tonight I'm launching a new precision medicine initiative to bring us closer to curing diseases like cancer and diabetes, and to give all of us access to the personalized information we need to keep ourselves and our families healthier. We can do this.
That phrase, precision medicine, is getting a lot of buzz right now and could lead to more success stories like Gleevec. But the concept of the right treatment at the right time for the right cancer has deep roots. Roots that trace back more than 50 years to a microscope in Northeast Philly. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.